Welcome everyone to as live edition of Exiled Eagles. We're not sure if we're recording. We're not sure if this will be seen by anyone other than us five. If other people are seeing this one, congratulations. If not, we've had fun doing it. So fantastic. We're all in isolation. All in lockdown in different parts of the world. But I want to start with two bits of very good news. First bit of very good news. Dale became a father. Huge congratulations, my son. Well done.
Congratulations,
thank you. He's currently downstairs crying, so I'm sure Carrie is thrilled I'm on a podcast.
Good man to see that. As a man with two, I suggest you do podcasts pretty much every night and avoid all fatherly responsibilities for as long as possible. But even better news, we have a special guest. Welcome back, Tony King.
Hey, the crowd goes wild. It's good to be back. Hello, Dax. How are we?
Well,
how are we? The fact that was a bigger deal than Dale just having a child.
It's more rare that you've come on the pod than Dale having a kid.
That's true.
It's
more rare.
Well, there we go. Mate, Exiled Eagles,
mate. Awesome set you did on Saturday night. So look, if you want to give yourself a little plug, get yourself a plug in. You doing it again anytime soon?
Yeah, probably in a couple of weeks. Just check me out on Tony Rebel on Mixcloud and Essential Old School Melbourne on Twitch. We're doing some live sets every sort of few weeks. So if you want a bit of music in your ISO, then give us a check out.
Please do. It was bloody great. Let me tell you, it was bloody good. Also joining me are the usual regulars. We have Mark Werner, isolating in Queensland.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Very well, very well. Hair's getting nice and long. Good man.
That's it.
Good man. And we have Ned with one of the weirdest faces. Are you watching something else? You're kind of like perving over what must be weird.
I wish. Just
so don't we all?
You're just excited that you're not looking up my nose for once. So, I mean, and I can see your whole face. So, I mean, usually I prefer this.
Exactly. It's isolation, isn't it? Quarantine. Everyone's got to help everyone out. This is my little bit I'm doing for you. Well, guys, it's a dark day. It was fun while it lasted. I very much doubt Crystal Palace are coming to Australia. The one silver lining is there'll be no more complaints about tickets for Dale, Mark, or Ned. So anyone that wants tickets, don't worry about it anymore. They won't be coming. But hey, it was fun while it lasted, wasn't it, fellas?
Yeah. So, I spoke. Mark Bright did a online Q&A from isolation, and I asked him, what are the chances of Palace coming over? And he said, not a chance in hell. So, not exactly the official word, but it's as close as we're going to get, I think.
I'm still holding on to hope, mate.
Yeah, until it's officially announced, I'm doing the same. Yeah.
What?
Exactly. Mate, that's what happens when you have a new season. Hold on to any hope.
Yeah.
They start the season back up. They finish end of June. Hop on a plane. They've had a long break. They've had a 6-7 week break. Hop on a plane, come over, play in Townsville, play in Brisbane, back to sunny Croydon, season starts again. Perfect.
I think my hope is the fact that hopefully they'll finish, at some point they're probably going to have to finish the season, which means at some point they're going to have a pre-season before next season. So it might not be in July, but maybe they'll just come out later in the year. I can't even tell that.
I think more the problem is not so much the finishing the season every time, it's like there'll be no international flights. They're stopping international flights for forever long. I mean, they might be okay to come out, but then they're not going to be able to get in the country.
Or you've got to spend 14 days in isolation in Townsville.
Exactly. So there might be the time, might be there, but yeah. I'm pretty sure I heard somewhere that like international flights might not start up again for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Like just control it here, relax the quarantine, the isolation here. In like you can fly domestically a little bit before they can start opening up the borders again.
I guess the one hope has got to be, right, is Queensland will need the tourism even more this time next year, right? So hopefully the offer is still on the table for them to come over. But I mean, that's got to be the hope.
That's what I'm hoping. That's exactly what I'm hoping. Like, it's like contracts and stuff must have been signed, right?
Yeah.
To get this done, money's flown, money's gone somewhere. So they'll be like, right, we'll just postpone it for the year to get him out next year. But I mean, it's great news for the Hobart too. Means we should be invading Hobart in round about November time for the meetup. I think
everyone's got flights to Brisbane.
Yeah, we can't fly. Yeah, hold on to
but they won't be nice.
We've got a silly flight to Townsville book that I don't think is going to result in much happening. But
is the national meetup going to be via Zoom this year?
We'll talk about it a bit later.
We can record it.
Come on, I was at the last national meetup on Friday.
Well, it's out of interest, mate. Have you booked your flight to Brisbane?
He wasn't going.
Craig Johnson never confirmed.
The match ticket was bought. The match ticket was bought. I was just waiting to see if I was going to go from Newcastle or Sydney. I was waiting for payday, and then payday came just after we got locked out. So thank God I didn't buy my ticket.
Fair enough.
I got my match ticket though. Just shove that up your ass.
I got to say though, I think it was about half an hour to 45 minutes after I purchased the last of all the tickets and flights and accommodation that I was badgered for. About half hour, 45 minutes after that is when they announced all the lockdowns. and everything going tits up. So I've got about $1,000 in the hole of tickets for fucking here, there and everywhere. And yeah.
So Mark, you can undo all those good things you were lining up while we're over there.
Well, at least you've got a bit more planning time now, Mark.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you've got a year to plan it. Jordan, you're back on deck. So yeah. It looks like we'll probably invade Hobart or something. We'll arrange that to go down there.
Yeah, planned.
Right, okay. Anyway, come on. Next.
All right. So we're in quarantine, fellas. How are we surviving this? How are we doing? Now you've got a newborn, so you're not even on this planet at the moment, I wouldn't have thought. Trust me, I've been there, done it. Tips, tricks for how you guys are surviving quarantine. Yeah, no, how to get through tone, obviously doing a bit of DJing, which is class. So yeah, throw it out there, fellas. I'm sure everyone's listening to podcasts about how to survive, but they're all rich people. We're none of us are rich and famous. So how are we all surviving?
I recently downloaded Championship Manager 2001-2002.
Now you jumped on that.
Hello?
Yeah.
So I've been playing a bit of that. The Palace team is terrible.
Who's in it? In the 2001-2002 team?
Tony Popovich and Aki Rialati are both within about an hour of me joining, decided that they wanted to leave for bigger clubs. got Dougie Friedman, Clinton Morrison. Simon Roger.
Oh, yeah. Jolly Roger.
I signed a 16-year-old Cristiano Ronaldo on a 10-year contract for £240 a week. He scored one offside goal and has done nothing since. Averages about 4 out of 10 a game.
It took him a while to warm up, though, didn't it? Remember?
That's it.
So he's a bit shit. But yeah, no, we're terrible. We're currently I beat Millwall 5-3, so that was about the highlight of my isolation. Other than that, yeah, still, I'm still working, fortunately, but yeah, that's about it. Market?
Yeah, I'm, to be perfectly honest, I'm not a gamer or an introvert, but life hasn't changed that much for me, really. Still on the tools. I work for myself, I work by myself, so my working life hasn't changed. I'm typically one of the last trades through a build, so there's often not even other tradies where I work. So there's just a matter of following big stickers on the floor at Woolies and seeing empty shelves there where toilet paper and hand sanitizer was. Apart from that, my world's not changed that much. No football, of course, or any sport to really speak of, apart from following Minsk in the Belarusian league. But other than that, yeah, day-to-day life and business, not that different. I know that's not exciting, or neither here nor there. But life's not crazy different for me. Fearless people walking the dog of an afternoon down the park, and that's about it.
How strict are they up in Queensland regarding you being out and about and stuff? Because Melbourne are starting to put out fines and stuff like that.
Yeah, not very, mate. Easter weekend coming up will be a big tester on that. Weekend just gone, I believe a lot of people got down to the Gold Coast, which I was saying weren't locals, you know, people from northern New South Wales or Brisbane that got down there. Wasn't as bad as Bondi and that, though. So looking through the hourglass, I suspect it'll happen again over Easter, and then they'll block it down, close all the beaches. All of them, totally. I think they've already done it for Coolangatta, Surfers Paradise, which will just push people to other beaches, and then they'll blanket a lot, I dare say. We've still got swimming weather up here at the moment, but not policing-wise, not that much on the go. I think people have been fairly good. Bearing in mind, we've only got half the people up here as well than what you have in Sydney and Melbourne, so that helps.
True. I found that it's not so much toilet. You can find toilet roll now. Toilet roll's not too bad.
Yeah.
You can't find like floor wipes, antibacterial wipes. They're gold dust now. You're just kind of moving.
Goes in waves. It's just,
yeah. It's weird, man. Really weird.
Like, petrol for 93 cents a litre yesterday.
How good is that shit?
I do have to pull Mark up on one thing though. I mean, you're talking about the Belarusian Premier League, mate, and you're not getting around FK Slut. I mean,
now everyone's got on the back of them, haven't they, for obvious reasons?
They had a cracking win against Islok on the weekend. There was a bloke playing the accordion in the stand. Everything you could possibly want from a game of football. Goals everywhere, open goals missed. It was fantastic.
Mate, once you're talking piano accordions, I'm all ears. So. Now, I thought I'd keep it true to the red and blue, mate, and support old Minx. I don't think they're going that well, actually. Not that I'm actually watching any of it, but
what do you mean? I've completely forgotten. I don't think they're going that well. Who gives a rat's ass? As soon as this is over, you're never going to look at them again. So who gives a shit?
Well, mate, there's literally no other football on the planet to talk about. So
it's so true. What the hell's life changed for you, Dale? You mean?
Mate,
babies. Does he sleep? How's he sleep?
He sleeps good. Last night he went down at 9:30 and woke up at 5.
Poor.
Yeah. Good result.
Yeah, an absolute result. The two nights before that, he woke up at midnight and didn't go back to sleep till 4:30. But there you go.
Yes. This is what I want to hear. This is what I want to hear, because I've been through this shit. And so now I want other people to suffer. Good.
He's good. He obviously saw the picture of him in his palace onesie, so the indoctrination has started, and Optus helped out with the Crystal Palace Day last week. Mm. So he got to watch Chris Manball.
He got to
watch Patrick Van Aanholt pass it to Palace players whilst playing for Sunderland. He got to see us beat Spurs, and I think by that time, Carrie had enough, so I can turn it off. That's good. No, I love it, mate. Fatherhood is awesome. It's we've taken to being parents pretty well, and can't wait for the next 18 years.
Good to hear, man. Really good to hear. It is fun. There's times you think, why am I bothered? But no, it's good fun. What about you, Tone? What you been up to since your last appearance in the pod 950 years ago?
I'm a bit like Mark, really. I lost my job when they cancelled the AFL season, so that was a bit of a bummer. But then I've just been picking up a bit of work here and there, so sort of every other day I'm sort of walking to work and walking back again, and it feels kind of normal, and the missus is working every day, and it's only really this week I've sort of been just sort of stuck in the house a bit, and I don't mind it at all. I'm digging it. Like playing records and having an excuse to get out of social arrangements, it's awesome.
I'll tell you what, the thing that's like I've noticed tons, like, is where I live, there's quite a lot of like older people, just families and stuff. Every time I go out into my front garden, there's always people walking past the house. there's so many people out walking now because they kind of have to do that. I think it's kind of a positive side effect it's going to have is that people just get out and start walking, and hopefully that kind of people get into that, you know, it becomes part of the daily routine, part of that routine to actually get rather than just sitting on their ass doing nothing. People realise it's actually nice to do. It's like the amount of families going out walking around. I mean, I'm working from home. My wife's working from home. Harrison, my oldest, is out, not at school anymore, so we're homeschooling him. And Brady, my youngest, just wants to play with him. And so you've got to try and homeschool him, entertain Brady, do work. Absolute fucking nightmare. So then I heard the news today, so we might be out of this sooner rather than later if everyone isn't a dickhead and keeps doing the isolation and social distancing and stuff. Please, for me, I don't care about anyone else, just for me, please do that so I can send my kid back to school, because he has to go back to school.
I'll be honest with you, Rob, I don't think you're the only person out there who's sort of, you know,
it's like getting like as long as we're surviving, mental health's good. The serious note, if we do actually get this out there, it's a serious note that it would mean, as not just the Palace family, anyone else, that please drop us a message on Facebook if you want to have a chat. Everyone would be more than happy to reach out. If it is just like a chat about crap, you want to talk about Palace, you haven't been talking about Palace with someone for a while, we'll just talk about Palace. If you just want to have a chat with someone, let us know. We can do one of these. We can do one of these Zoom. Jump on Zoom with you. We can do whatever you want. So it's not, some people are kind of out there on their own. So I do want to put it out there that if anyone does feel that they need anything or just want us to talk, then we're all here to offer that support as well. All right, well, look, well said, Rob. Let's talk about...
Well said.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you. But that's, all right, guys, like, Dale, you mentioned that you touched on it before. Like, we... there was a Palace Day on Optus Sport. Obviously, we found it's probably the most popular day they're going to do, because obviously Palace are widely supported worldwide. They played games all day. And Tone came up with a great idea to do a Zoom with all the Palace fans wanted to come and watch the game together. It was 10 o'clock. Christian Ball kicked off. It was the full game. It wasn't one of those highlights for half an hour, full game, an hour and a half. And got about 10 people in there, all had a beer, put up Palace shirts on, had a beer. I found it really cathartic and really good to have the banter with everyone. We came to watch the game. Like, James Howland from the UK jumped on too when he was supposed to be working, doing some marking or some rubbish that teachers do. Although they've got 6 months off now, so it's not too bad a job, is it? It was really, really good. I really enjoyed it. Obviously, so myself, Tony were there. And everyone gives me shit about not turning up, but I do believe that Mark, Ned, and Dale couldn't be asked. So thanks for coming, boys.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, Tone, you were there. How did you find it? I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good. Like I said, all the boys together. We had Jordo in Hobart came and joined us, and all the Sydney crew. Everyone had their tops on and the beers going. It's Friday night, and it was good just to watch that game again. Chris Stamboul. Now, we all know that final 10 minutes almost off by heart. But, it's good to see the whole game. So I've pretty much forgotten the whole of the first half. I've forgotten how average we were as well, because, you know, everyone kept saying, oh, you know, we always knew we were in it. As soon as we got one back, you know, we knew it was going to be our day. I would not have thought that at all. Even at 3-1, we were, like, thoroughly outplayed. So it's funny how you rewrite history in your head.
Oh, 100%. We could have been 8-1 down.
Yeah.
Comfortably 8-1 down. I mean, the Sterling chance that he missed. I mean, Suarez missed about 8. It was incredible.
Yeah.
But no, you mentioned that you
watched it. We were like 13 shots to 1, I think, at one
point. Yeah. And that was after 12 minutes.
Yeah.
No, you mentioned you watched it with Akira. How did you remember it? Remember the whole game? Or did you think we were like, turn up, God, my, how did we pull this one out of the bag?
No, I forgot most of it. Rewatching it, we were... First half, we were terrible, out of the game completely. And, you know, as I said it before, I'll say it again, still screaming at the TV to Damon Delaney, what are you doing? Do not shoot from there. but, you know, Celtic, you mentioned it on a WhatsApp group, how we used to attack with pace and purpose. We still do on the counter. That's exactly what we did. It's exactly what we did in that Liverpool game. We did absolutely nothing. and then on the counter, you know, I can't believe I'm about to say this, really can't believe it. Give me prime Yannick Bolasie any day of the week. My Liverpool supporting mate, I remember, text me after that game saying, you can't stop Bolasie because he doesn't know what he's going to do. So how the hell do defenders know what he's going to do? And he toiled into pieces in that last couple of minutes.
I actually said that whilst we were watching it. I've forgotten Bolasie's run. Was it for the second goal? He just takes it pretty much our area, doesn't he? Just bombs down, leaves a couple of defenders in his way, gets the cross in. Quality. Yeah, you'd love to see it.
Prime Yannick.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, did you boys watch it, Mark and Ned? Did you watch it on your own? Or did you miss it?
I was keen as for it, as I indicated on the WhatsApp group, and then was working till quite late, so managed to get home. A couple of minutes to spare, popped it on, and I've never watched any game back of any code, of any team, of anything that I've seen. I never watched anything back. Anything I know the result of, I've never watched back. But obviously being Christian Ball, I thought, this would be cool, watch this back, knowing the result, obviously, and how it panned out. And I swear, I kid you not, with about 90 seconds to go before half-time, I remember vividly remember looking up at the clock and left like, right, we just keep them out of goal here till the half time and then just have it 1-0. We might swing something back. And I'm like, what are you doing, you clown? It's a foregone thing. And then again in the second half, after we shorted up, I found myself like short of breath going, come on, boys, just fucking hang on here. And I thought it'd be I was sure they got a bang in a fourth. And then I thought it'd be fucking typical Palace to go and ruin an already gotten result and lose this. I was waiting for it. But yeah, it was a quality idea to do the Zoom thing. And I was keen as and to catch up with you lads when I got home. But I forgot we're doing the Zoom thing and got home and way too much fucking weed. And then I was like, can't be arsed working out this Zoom bullshit thing.
I'd like to quickly point out that that's the views of Mark Werner, the Exiles Eagles, do not condone any use of any substances whatsoever.
Yeah, they don't.
Nah, not at all. It was medicinal, most of it.
Yeah. When he means wheeze, he means he was just doing weeding in the garden. And
I was wheezing.
No. Yes, that's
in the garage because I was out of breath.
What about you, Ned? Did you watch it?
What was the question?
Christian Ball. Christian Bull, did you watch it on Friday on the Paddy's Day, or you couldn't
bother? No. I caught a bit of it at work on my phone, responsibly, as you do. Then I just very much enjoyed. I think my highlight was just after Luis Suarez scored the third, and you just see him, and he runs, and he chases after, and he runs into the goal, and he picks the ball up, and he charges back, and he's giving it the, come on, boys. Got to make up the goal difference. We've got to make up the goal difference. Let's keep going. Just knowing that about 25 minutes later he was going to be in tears, it was just really satisfying, to be honest.
Yeah, talking about the tears, that was definitely, with the 10 of us watching, that was the thing that definitely went down the best. Like, we kind of got a tear and a clap, but the tears, just 10 people just absolutely in heaven.
Standing ovation the cheers got. The tears got actually a standing ovation, yeah. So my favourite part of it, good point on that, is that the commentator says when they scored a third, he said, that's the game wrapped up. Now it's about how many they can score. I think that's pretty much a verbatim quote. He definitely says that's the game over. But yeah, and it was just brilliant. It was just a really good night. I mean, some of the bands that was coming out there, Kevin Winston, can't be aired, but it was quite superb. Quite superb, the one-liners that will flying around. He'd go on mute and then he'd just explode with a peach and then put himself back on mute again with some of the weirdest backgrounds you're ever going to see.
Yeah, it was some good effort people putting Sellers Park as their backgrounds and stuff like that. Yeah, it was good. And speaking about the Palace Day in general, it's quite interesting just watching all those games back-to-back. They were generally sort of half-hour highlights of it. But it's sort of up through our entire time in the Premiership. And Dale, you made this point It's staggering how little our squad developed. We were going back and forth through the years, and generally it was roughly the same, you know, bar two or three players. It was the same team.
I think the Tottenham game, I can't remember what year it was from, but they had...
the first game.
Yeah, so had a very young Harry Kane, Hugo Lloris, and Jan Vertonghen in there. And that's the only players who are still there today. Whereas we had Joel Ward, Martin Kelly, Tompkins, Dan, I think Wilf was on the bench, James MacArthur, you know, and if you think about the ones who aren't there anymore, you know, Millay's retired, pretty much. Glenn Murray's, he's at Brighton, he's still involved in playing, but he's probably...
He's dead to us.
you know, and Johan Cabaye is on the verge of retirement himself. So, you know, it's amazing when you think to yourselves, that was a long time ago, and nothing's really changed. And I think with that, you almost have to give credit to our manager for how he has...
What?
Because where we are now, but we're not looking over our shoulders. No one else's squad stays static like that.
Yeah. When you got the perfect squad, though, Dale, I mean, why change?
Well, that's right. That's right.
It does show how much work we have to do.
Yeah. Well, what was also interesting was listening to the commentators. You know, they're obviously talking in the moment and we're sort of listening back a few years later. And all the things they were saying about Palace are all still the same problem.
Like,
oh, they don't score many goals. And they're good at the back and that's the key. And it's like, it was exactly the same 5-6 years later.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it right there. I don't mean to say I think I've said this before, but I'm pretty sure I said this shit consistently over a year and a half.
But you can't criticise Roy for it because clearly he's not the problem.
Oh, no, don't go down. Don't take me down. Don't take me down that rabbit hole. I'll go. I'll bite.
Let's be honest. Just quickly, let's be honest. Like, let's be serious for a second. There is clearly, we've essentially just said it, there's clearly chronic underinvestment in the squad. For whatever reason. Whatever reasons. I've just finished the second season of Sunderland Till I Die. They bought They bought a striker for more than we did in League One. They bought Will Grigg for 4 million, idiots. We bought Ailey for 2.5. So I don't...
So is that good or is that bad? What's the
bad?
I mean, you can't just even turn around and say this is the fault of the managers. You've got to turn around and say they're doing it with what they've got. So anyway, let's not get into it. I'm just saying that.
I'm going to be honest with you now. There's a nice little prawn on a hook going right past me. I'm very tempted to bite now. It's just kind of floating around there. Around, and it's close. Yeah, we spoke about it before that he's turned down players. The players he wants to buy are the ones that, you know, that are 28, 29 years old, they're going to fit straight into his team, and we can't do that at the moment. And so we need to lower the age. But that's not a quarantine podcast. That's going to be our podcast when football's back up and running, and we can complain about the transfer window again. Come on.
Well, I mean, I guess one football that everyone is watching is that Sunderland Till I Die documentary, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's got to be. It's so good.
That's berserk.
So good. Brilliantly done. Oh.
And I think Nick said this on our chat when we were watching the game. It's interesting for a team like us as well, because that could be us, right? The sort of mismanagement and sort of trying to get up and running. It's kind of, you know, very applicable to Palace as well.
Mm. Agreed.
You just see how much, but it also resonates like how much Sunderland means to the Sunderland community, right?
Yeah.
So you look at all the, when I talk to the fans, like, everything Sunderland, it's football. Like, we start work on a Monday, we look forward to Saturday, we go to football. You realise how much it means. You look at what Palace are doing at the moment, and it's been mentioned on FYP, and it's been mentioned on Back of the Nest. Like, they're calling people, that, you know, we were one of the first clubs that came out saying we're paying our staff full wages no matter what. No problem, we're calling the over 70s. Dougie's calling the over 70s season ticket holders. We are that sense of community club where you look at what Spurs have done and what Liverpool did, and obviously they've kind of U-turned on it, even though they clearly didn't want to, but there's so much pressure they had to do it.
How about you, Tony?
It's nice. Yeah, they're paying. They've said they're now gonna. They realised they were wrong.
Yeah,
it was a bad, it was a mistake, and they're now gonna pay their staff, which is lovely of them.
They are wrong, but for me, the issue isn't so much that you're furloughing your staff, because you know what, take advantage of everything around you if you can. The issue for me is you're furloughing a bunch of office workers who need the money probably, whilst you've got Mo Salah sitting there on 200 grand a week. And there's your issue. It's not what they've done, it's the fact that they haven't done it to the players. Let's be honest, the admin staff are probably still sitting there sorting out, I work in sport, I can tell you what happens in the off-season when sport isn't being played. People in the office are working their butts off. Now, do you think right now Mo Salah is working his butt off doing his job? He's not, because he can't train. He might be training at home, that's fine. I'm doing training at home. I've made my own gym in my garden. I do that. And he's not playing football, which is his job. So they should be seeing their wages go down. And you know what? If they lose 20% of their salary for 6 months, oh dear. Plenty more outcome.
Skim 5% off the players' wages, and that should be enough to pay office staff, really.
That's right. That's right.
They can just rotate and take a week off getting paid each.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Liverpool's team just misses 1 week's worth of wages, they'd pay the whole office off.
That's right, 100%, mate. So anyway, that's my view of it.
That's actually a pretty good idea, Ned, for once. That's like, you know, each one of the first team, you know, right, because, you know, then they're still going to get 3 weeks' worth of 200 grand a week, so they're still going to make the best part of £1 million anyway, or whatever they're getting. But, you know, as you said, they'll probably pay it off. And I think as well that the clubs that choose to furlough their admin staff, there should be a penalty. And I saw someone put out there that those clubs that do that then can't take part in the next transfer window, because you haven't got the money to pay your admin or your admin staff or that. Then you haven't got enough money to go and buy footballers in the next transfer window. End of story. There's no way you can save that money then go and spend it.
It's not about not having the money to pay it. If you're furloughed, it's about not having the work for them to do. So they're trying to say that there isn't work for them to do, when the reality is you could have stuff for them to do. You can reduce some hours, have planning sessions, look at your strategies, all that sort of stuff. I just think sometimes football clubs think they are something special, and you know they're not.
Well, that's fair enough. I mean, I didn't know that's all it was, but if you've got some football clubs saying let's be honest, doing the right thing, like, for example, Palace. And then they're saying, right, we will pay our staff full whack. So, you know, Palace now in a situation where we're not getting any money in, but we're paying our staff, whereas a club like Spurs, who made the Champions League final last year, have just spent all this money on a stadium, made ridiculous amounts of money per match day, but then not paying their staff. Therefore, if we both go in for a player, and Spurs are like, well, we've saved all this extra money, we've got an extra 10 million quid in the bank, and the club take that, well, that's not on. End of story. Yeah. If they choose to go that way, fine. The pricks.
Club to use as an example there, Rob.
Hmm.
You picked the wrong club to use as an example there. I don't think Spurs have signed anyone ever.
That's true. Nor have we. That's the problem. So we have to go head to head with a club that hasn't signed anyone.
It's going to happen in the transfer market anytime soon.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on. So. Question is, how many toilet rolls have you guys got? Who's got the most toilet roll of all of us here? I've got 12
Rob
rolls.
Or Dale, surely.
I've got 12 rolls left.
I'm guessing it's me. I've got around about 50 rolls, I reckon.
50?
50?
Yeah, you're the hoarder.
Panic buyer. Panic buyer.
Get him off.
Hey, ScoMo will be very disappointed. That's I'm afraid.
and we're recording this and we're sending it straight to ScoMo so he can find you. Your name's on there. We've got Dale Quarter.
We had some and then all the nonsense started. And we just like thought we'll get another pack and there was none anywhere. And we went away just before Akia was born and we were down the south coast. And we went into a Coles and there was like packets of 9. And I went to pick up one, Carrier went to pick up one. They said, no, you can't do that. It's only one per transaction. I'm like, oh, whatever. And the woman said to me, I've got one out of the back. It's got 36. So I'll go and grab that for you. Because I thought, I had Jamie Oliver or someone in this talk. I heard your accent and I thought, oh my God, I've got someone famous. So she went out and somebody back.
So what you're saying is you used your Optus fame to hoard toilet roll.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
So hold on. A woman heard an English accent and thought it was a white chef.
I'm Jamie Oliver. Is my toilet roll?
This is the house to be at. We've also got about 1,200 toilet wet wipes.
Yeah, mate. You got to get them in bulk. Yeah. You'll go through them though. You wait. You wait. We'll pod on Friday, and I reckon you'll have about 13 left.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we've got a lot of everything.
All right, well, look, guys, I really enjoyed that. Thank you. Thank you for giving the time. And as I said before, earlier on, if anyone out there in not just in Eagle Land, in any land, if you just want to have a listen to us five chat, when it's a bit of Paddy's, but us five chat, please do. If you do, we're Exiled Eagles on Facebook, so if you do want to have a chat with any of us, you probably don't want to have a chat with me because I'm boring. You definitely don't have a chat with Ned because he's weird. But Tony, Dale, and Mark, just drop us a message.
Yeah,
we'll be more than happy to make the time
to
do so.
100%.
So. Yeah, 100% for that, mate. Anyone out there, and you know, hit us up on Facebook or whatever. I'm going to put out a blanket message up here on Brisbane as well. Just to reiterate that exact sentiment, mate. There's lots of people out there that don't necessarily have family or co-workers to bounce off. So, yeah, well said.
Exactly, guys. Look, this leads me to say that everyone, stay safe. And this is a general thing. Just don't be a knob. Let's get over this as quickly as possible. So hopefully we can watch some football. Hopefully we can get Palace out here. So don't be a knob. Stay home. Wash your hands of all that crap. For me, Rob, Dale, Ned, Tone, Mark, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.